So today we're talking about rest. I don't know if you're catching the theme. We have been pushing hard. I want to say since November, but I think we've been pushing hard all year long. For those of you that are new to Whitewater, if this is your first day, and my wife's leaving. Good. Well, see you later, baby. Oh, she's back. I'm out. This is garbage. But for those of you that are new, all year long, we've been pushing really hard. Spiritually, we've been pushing hard. Service-wise. And I never want to say that, you know, because it's Christmas time and leading up to Christmas that we've, oh man, we're just pushing real hard. But, you know, we did push hard then too. And a lot of you folks have been a part of that. A lot of you folks have helped with that via helping, being helping hands to these community projects that we've been doing, via money, your hard-earned cash that you guys give to make this thing fly, to be a blessing to this community, via prayer, via everything. But we've been pushing hard, and we've been talking about, we got done with an Own Your Stuff series. Prior to that, we were in John learning about the life of Jesus. Prior to that, I think was New Year's last year, wasn't it? We haven't really talked about a whole lot this year. But I've been hearing and experiencing, I guess, some level of unrest from you and some level of unrest from me in this community, in this body. I've heard things like, wow, Whitewater really expects a lot out of its people during Christmas. And I said, no, that's the expectation all year round. It really is. And I hear people who are just being hit hard financially, just with all these external pressures and things going on, and it doesn't make a lot of sense because it just keeps coming. The hits just keep coming. The week of Christmas, we lost one of our own here at Whitewater, Esther Wagner. She went into the emergency room on the 23rd. She never woke up from her sleep that night. She had an aneurysm that took her out. And so the 23rd, we're in the emergency room, and then we've just been dealing with that. The 24th, the band gets done rehearsing for Christmas Eve practice, and the first text I get is from my dad on my phone saying, your uncle passed away, cancer. And so you look at all these different things, and you see very much not rest, I guess, if that makes sense, if you look at them just face value, right? And many of you probably have your own experiences. I was sharing with Don and Farron earlier that we didn't go home, and it was beautiful because it was the first time in my family's history. My wife and I have been married. We're going on 16 years in March, right? Is it March? Yeah. In March. And we have always traveled back home for the last 8 years since living here. We've always gone home to family because we were the only outliers out of town. And this year we decided, this is stupid. No, we didn't decide this is stupid. We just said, we're going to stay home and we're going to be a part of our own family this year. And we invited all the family to come here, and we knew they wouldn't, so we were safe. It was just this beautiful time of relaxation and not having to push and not having to be anywhere and not having to load gifts up in the car and then reload them up in the car and have any kind of road trip to go see family. And so that was a little bit of rest for me. And a lot of these rests I'm talking about are very surfacey rests, aren't they not? You know, you push for a little bit of time and then you should be able to just recluse and be. Do you feel rested this morning? Everybody says you're good. Some say you're mixed. Do you feel rest this morning? I can't tell if people are responding or not. Speak loud. Do you feel rest this morning? You don't feel rest. Some do. Well, I didn't feel rest. And so we are entering in this new year, and a lot of times I'll have you write down what we have done in the past, death wishes. Or we've done New Year's resolution, but since Rich said those are dumb, I can't do that now. I can't come up and give you that. But we're gonna talk about what this means to rest, because I remember feeling as we were doing some of this Christmas stuff, the Christmas push. Thank God that's over. Next thing. The next thing would hit and be over, and I would say, thank God that's over. Next thing. And I was just checking these things off my list. And then as I started thinking about rest, I started thinking, well, what does God say about rest? What does Jesus say about rest? What does Scripture have to say about this rest that I'm not feeling? And weirdly enough, oddly enough, Scripture does kind of talk to us about rest. We sang some songs written about rest. The very last song, it made me smile because I told Louise we're talking about rest, and then she chooses that song, and that's Jesus' words from Matthew, where he's talking about yoke, and he's not talking about eggs. I'm guessing you guys are all Wyoming folk. You know what a yoke is, yeah? You guys are all so responsive. Thank you. Thank you for staying up till midnight and coming in hungover so you could have this great dialogue with me. The hungover part, don't ever do it again, all right? Okay. So I started looking at what does God have to say about rest. And Jesus actually talks. He's talking to these people in Galilee. And he's talking, and he starts just kind of nailing them to the wall. He gets done with his discourse talking about John and John the Baptist. And then he just starts talking about all these different places where he went. And he performed all these incredible miracles. And people were just like, eh. And then he ends this discourse, which I find really weird. He ends this conversation with these people. And this is what he has to say. It's in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. If you need a Bible, please take one. We give them away for free out on our table. They're right next to the food. You can't miss them. If you need an app so you don't have to lug a Bible around other than on your phone, that's what I do. It's beautiful. You can read it anytime, anywhere. So download a free Bible app. It's at your disposal. But keep reading this stuff. Let this stuff sink in. Here we go. It says this. Jesus says this. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus speaks here, and he's contesting this figurative bondage of unprofitable labor, as a commentary puts it. Those aren't my words. And it's under an inadequate understanding of God's law. He's talking about this rest, and we have this rest backwards. We have this whole I'm weary thing backwards. Because we don't have a right understanding of God. You might call it faith narratives, huh? Anybody remember when Craig was teaching on this stuff? Come on, help me out. I don't want to be here any more than you do, okay? Help me out. We have this misunderstanding of God, and we have this misunderstanding of how we do anything with God. How we do anything and how we cope in this life with God. A lot of times we just say, well, I just need to work harder. More, longer, and if I do so, it will change my situation, right? It will change my life. It will change how I do things. All the while, we just kind of ignore this faith narrative of God. Who actually are you? And what do you have to say about life? What do you have to say about rest? What do you have to say about my job, my work here in the kingdom? And he says, it's simple. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Don't work harder for rest. Don't keep trying to get more work done so you can rest. Come to Jesus. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus' yoke is not any lighter because he demands less from us. Do you understand that? It's not lighter because we don't have to do anything because Jesus has got it. Jesus, take the wheel. We were at the Anderson's house last night, and Chantel has that bookmarked video on YouTube, and I think she watches it every day, she said. We just put it on a loop and just kept listening to it. But it's not that it's any less, that it's not lighter because it demands less, but because he bears more of our load with us when we come to him, when we allow him to take these things, when we come to him and say, God, what do you have to say about this? What do you have to say about this? And it's beautiful because Jesus does speak to this. Jesus understands how we operate. And Jesus understands how we change and how we become more like him. He's not stupid, but he spoke to us like we were. Because we are. Jesus spoke in parables, right? Didn't he? That's why he taught in stories. He used narrative to explain his understanding of God and the world. He said things like this: the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. A man had two sons. It almost sounds like a joke. He's setting us up for a joke. A Mexican fireman had two sons. One name was Jose, and the other's name was Jose B. No. I've never claimed to be funny, but it sounds like Jesus was setting up a joke. But here it is, guys. Here it is. If we adopt Jesus' narratives about God, this is James Brian Smith talking right now. Don't miss this. If we adopt Jesus' narratives about God, we will know God properly and right actions will follow. Can I read it again? I don't think you caught it. If we adopt Jesus' narratives about God, we will know God properly and right actions will follow. We change not by mustering up willpower, but by changing the way we think. We get better narratives about who God is and what he wants us to be about, which will also involve changing our actions and our social environment. When we change the way we think, when we change the way we think to be in line with the way God thinks and the way God operates, a lot of this unrest starts going away. When I started looking at loving our community here in Laramie as a burden, because there was a lot of things I needed to do or get done, or logistics that I, as a pastor of a church, have to slog through the swamp through, I've missed the boat, haven't I? When I complain about 30 TVs being delivered, when I fret and I worry about how will the money be raised for these things, because Whitewater's awesome and they're givers, but you know, God hasn't blessed us individually with a lot. We're not a rich church. We don't have a lot of rich folks that just drop major checks here. You all work hard. You all earn. And you all give. And I worry about these tasks, and well, God, I don't see how this can be accomplished. God says, come to me. Come to me with that. Don't get weary. Don't get burdened. Come to me with that. And rest and know that I will take care of this. Yeah. It almost sounds simple, doesn't it? It almost sounds too simple. It almost sounds like, Adam, this is just, I could go, you know, listen to Joel Osteen and get the same thing. But it's amazing how my heart turns so quickly to become a worrier, to become burdened, to become buried by situations, by stress. My buddy Craig and I went on a motorcycle ride on Friday, and it was cold, but there was chicken to be had. There's a new chicken restaurant that opened up in West Laramie called Chester Fried Chicken. And we could smell it from here, and we said, somewhere there's a chicken restaurant open. And I'm just a little guy, I don't eat a lot, but we smelled it, and we said, we've got to go to this Chester Fried Chicken, and we get there, and it was kind of funny, because Craig orders his meal, and he's really excited. Craig is a connoisseur of fried chicken, if you will. And I get up to the counter, and I tried to order something, and I couldn't order that thing because there wasn't enough chicken. And so at that point, I'm mad. I want eight. You tell me you don't have eight. And then, you know, well, what does this cost? They don't have pricing. I'm just kind of flustered with it. So we go and I purchased some subpar meal that only had four pieces of chicken. But the guy actually ended up giving me all this chicken for free. Over, you know, he didn't have eight, but whatever he had, he just threw in because he could sense that I was stressed. And as about my meal, yes. And as we're walking out of the chicken joint, I'm recounting this thing to Craig, and he's just kind of shaking his head and kind of chuckling a little bit. But he's like, "You're kind of being a jerk, man. It's just chicken. It's okay. Settle down." And then we come back to the office, and we're sitting around the table, and my wife calls, "Why aren't you home?" I said, "I'll be there soon, Mother." She calls frustrated because when I left the house, it was like 11:30, and I said, "I will be back in 30 minutes." And I didn't come back because I smelled chicken. My motorcycle just went to where this chicken was. And she called and said, "What you said you were going to do, you didn't do." And then I'm flustered and I'm mad because she's doubled, you know, she's checking up on me, telling me I need to be places, telling me I need to go make lunch for my kids. Really? They can wait till 4. And so I get off this frustrated phone call, and it was interesting because Craig looks at me and he just says, "Why are you so angry? What are you angry about?" And I didn't honestly feel angry. I didn't feel stressed. I didn't feel in a state of unrest at that point because I was putting chicken down my mouth. And I said, "Nothing." He said, "Huh, you just seem angry." And then he dropped it and left it at that and didn't keep pressing, which I was grateful for. But as I went home from that, I started wondering, you know, what is this within me? Because I'm in the community, I'm buying chicken, and I am somewhat, I don't know if I came off jerky to that guy, but I'm sure there were lots of eye rolls like, "Man, I need 8 pieces of chicken." I don't know. But my spirit towards him was very unloving. My way in which I rest in Jesus didn't come through to this guy at the chicken joint. Didn't come through to Craig as he's watching me interact with my wife, and it probably didn't come through to you on the phone when I'm like, "Whatever, I guess I'll be home." And I go home and I sit and I ponder on this. Why are you so angry? I'm not angry. You're the one that's angry. And there's this buried deep level of unrest in my soul that made me started working its way out. Whether I knew it or not, whether I understood it or not, and I know you feel the same thing. I know you feel you get there. I know you experience the same thing. And so I want to encourage you. Jeremiah, in the Old Testament, we don't talk about that much. It's the Dead Testament. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Jeremiah has this to say. Actually, Jeremiah just said, this is what the Lord says. You ready for it? It says this, "Stand at the crossroads and look. Stand at the crossroads and look. I have a choice. I have a choice to go and be in this unrest. I have a choice to go and be left to my own devices. Or I have a choice to go and be a part of God's kingdom and live God's kingdom and bring God's kingdom. I have a choice to understand correct narratives about God or not. Look at the crossroads. Stand at the crossroads and look. And then he says this, ask for the ancient paths. God, where are you in this situation? God, where are you in my unrest? God, where are you when I am in such a disservice to only get 4 pieces of chicken? Something so minor. God, where are you when my uncle dies? God, where are you when my friend dies? God, where are you when this family is suffering through the holidays and Christmas? God, where are you in my financial situation? God, where are you? Stand at the crossroads and look, and then ask, God, where should I go? Which direction should I head? Which path do I need to take? Ask where the good way is. God's there. He wants to respond to this question. God, where are you? How do I love better? How do I live in rest? How do I not just continue in this turmoil of life day in and day out? Ask where the good way is. And this is the beauty. This is how simple this statement is. This is what he says, and walk in it. It requires some action, doesn't it? Once we understand this narrative of God, once we understand where God's at in our situation, we're not asked to just sit indifferent. We're asked to walk within. Where God is, where God desires us to be, we're asked to walk in it. And then it's very interesting because then it goes on to say, you know, if you do these things, walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. God, where are you in our situation? God, show us this good path. God, show us the good way. And then we get to walk in it. And that's where rest is found. So much of this stuff just gets out of control so fast in our lives. So much of this stuff just gets pushed aside. I've got this, God. You just sit and watch me watch. You know, Jesus, take the back seat. Sorry, Chantel, I ruined your favorite song. But we don't operate in that way, and that's what I want to bring to our attention today, because we come here with unrest. We come here with lives that are just in chaos. Now, I want to also mention that sleep is an important thing for you. Let's get practical, too. If you're running yourself ragged and you can't function because you are sleep-deprived, you can't function in the kingdom either. Does that make sense? That's almost a duh statement. Get some good rest, friends. Go to bed at a good time, friends. But with the rest of your waking hours, ask God, where are you? Where are you in this situation? Where are you in my life? Show me the good way. And you have to make that decision to walk in it. That's why our mission statement is moving the world two steps closer. It implies movement towards God. It implies taking action. If we adopt Jesus' narratives about God, we will know God properly and right actions will follow. We change not by mustering up willpower, but by changing the way we think, which will also involve changing our actions and our social environment. God, we ask you this morning, and for those of us willing to engage you, I ask on their behalf, God, show us the ancient paths in our situation, in our unrest. And whatever we brought with us this morning to this place, whether it joyful, whether it painful, whether we're just buried by life, God, show us the ancient paths. Show us your way in this situation. Or multiple situations, whichever the case may be. God, show us where the good way is. It's not a guessing game. Through your Spirit that you left to help us, God, show us where the good way is. And Father, I pray that our love is so great that we are obedient to walk in what you've asked. In this good way that you've shown us, these ancient paths that you've shown us in your narratives for this world, in our world, and the world around us. God, may our love be so great that our obedience follows and walks in that path. God, and the blessing, the reward for that is rest for our souls. These are words that you promised. These are words that you promised. May we own them, may we live in them, may we walk in them. God, that you would refresh us, that you would bring rest to us, our souls, in every situation in life as we look to you in your narratives. God, it's in Jesus' name we pray all these things, and everybody said, amen.